something good. So good work, Richard.
I was blowing my hair.
Yes. Now, I also thank you. Many thanks to all of you for celebrating, rejoicing last Sunday, our birthday and celebration, as we had a wonderful time with the snow. It was also another icing on the cake celebrations with your cards and the cake. Oh, my goodness. Thank you for the love, and thank you for celebrating my birthday in that way. So thank you in a very special way. Now, if you read the bulletin, you might notice that the session has graciously allowed me to take a vacation in November, mainly because it's a disclaimer that I did pass the polity, the constitution, the governance, and the doctrines, the beliefs of the Presbyterian to work in a Presbyterian church. So that is through, but I'm in the middle of taking the other tests last week and today and throughout the week, so more tests to go. And as soon as that's done, the session say, okay, you work hard enough, you can go back home. So I'll be returning to my native land, Burma, for about 2 weeks, but joining with Emily and Anna, my family, who's now visiting family in South Korea for a holiday and Thanksgiving season to be with the family. So thank you for your kindness, your graciousness, and allowing me to take some time off in November. So I'll be here for the next two Sundays, so I'm not going to be gone just yet, but we will celebrate our time together, worshiping and fellowship and ministry then until my vacations in November. Now, speaking of stewardship, stewardship is a matter of faith and discipleship. We are all stewards in the kingdom of God. If you look at Genesis chapter, throughout the beginning of time, in Genesis 2 particularly, God put the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, in the garden to work and to take care of it. He put them to be caretakers, stewards in his kingdom. And that didn't end there. Throughout history, God would ask his people, he said, Moses, I want to rescue my people, but now you go. You go. So God sent us to go. God sent us to cooperate with him in his work. In Matthew 25, God says, when you do for the least of this, Jesus taught us, when you do for the least of these, you do unto me. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. Friends, we are caretakers. We are stewards in the kingdom of God. In order to do that, we need your help. We need resources to go. And many of you have been members and friends of this church for many, many years, or some few years, or just recently. But nevertheless, whatever the time, the season that you are part of this church, this congregation has been a spiritual home for you. Am I right? This has been a place where you worship, where you gather, where you fellowship, where you serve the Lord. And this is the place you go. So our stewardship season, the campaign is that it's not we're giving to necessarily to God so that God can do his work, but we are giving to ourselves so that we can go there, here, and everywhere to serve the Lord. In the next 5 weeks, the stewardship committee will be launching a stewardship campaign, and the resources will be provided to do that. And next Sunday, there will be devotions, devotional booklets put together by Pastor L last year, and that will be available to all so that it can strengthen you in your walk with the Lord, and so you will know that stewardship, it's all about faith and discipleship. So please take a note of that. The devotions are coming up, the devotional materials. Then next Sunday is also the pledge cards will be given out. It may look something like this. And this is the pledge cards for 2016. And so that will be available, and it will be distributed next Sunday and collected by November 22nd, I believe, or November 22nd. So please prayerfully consider that and take a moment to say how God may speak to your hearts in how best you can utilize your gifts and resources for the kingdom of God. And starting next Sunday, you will also hear stories from different ministries and mission groups about the joys and the celebrations and the work of God that are taking place as we go, as we do the work of God. So stay tuned for those stories starting next Sunday throughout November. Last but not least, friends, Jesus gave us everything, his life, his love, himself. It is an honor, a joy, and it is a privilege to give back from what God has given to us. And it is one of my favorite topics when this season comes around, is to talk about how God, Almighty God, himself empty everything and come to the throne, come down from the throne and to be with us, to be one with us, and to serve us, to heal us, to call us to be his people. And then he called us to say, now it's your turn, you go. So with our tithes, with our resources, we will serve the Lord. Not only that, as Richard said, with our talents, with our time, with ourselves, with our availability, that we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Friends, stewardship in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of God, is about discipleship and faith. Thanks be to God. Amen. For our time together this morning, the book of Daniel, chapter 6, verses 13 to 23, is chosen. You may also, turn the Bible to page 630 or look up on the screen to follow along. Then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put in writing. He still prays three times a day. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and make every effort until sundown to save him. Then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and Persians, no decree or edict that the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him in the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the rings of his nobles, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. Then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel and in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I have found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. What law would you not obey? good citizens of the United States, we should obey the laws. But I just discovered one silly law that I don't necessarily want to obey. And it has something to do with New Hampshire. And in New Hampshire, I just found out, I'm not sure it's true or not, I discovered it on looking on, preparing for this sermon topics. It was back in the 70s, or started out there somewhere, that in New Hampshire, it is illegal to take seaweed out of the water at night. It's illegal to do that and to take it home. Anybody knows that? Okay. So if you are fishing a game on water, in charge of people, I don't mean to offend you, but I don't necessarily think that law is that smart. But anyway, there's a reason for it, right? But you wouldn't know that. But think about this, obeying the law. Think of Daniel. Daniel was a young man when he was brought out of his land, his home. And he was taken to a different country, living under such a hardship and captivity. And he was surrounded by rules and laws that he was not familiar with. And in fact, when he got to a foreign land, the first thing that he did, and it's always show that this is going to be my kind of people. They're tough people. Daniel and his friends, that they said, you know what? We're not going to eat the food that you give us. Daniel said, give us vegetables and water. That's all we want to eat. That's my kind of people. They're tough people. They said, no bacons, no ham. Forget that. I'm like, wow, they're tough. These are really tough people. True stories. Look at Daniel chapter 1. They wanted to eat nothing but what? Vegetables and water. And you know what kind of people they're going to be right from then. With the convictions, with the disciplines and the principle. Then the law came about that him and his friends need to bow down before a foreign god, an idol, a statue. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What did they do? They decided not to obey that law. Why? Because that law is against the law of God. So did they pay the price? Absolutely they did. The king threw him, what? In the fiery furnace, right? The fire. Guess what happened? God showed up. Then Daniel came, and the king noticed him. Why? Because God gave him ability and gifts to interpret dreams and visions. So he did that, and the king promoted him for that gifts, that he could interpret dreams, and he could tell wise things to the king, and so the king promoted him to a higher place. And his co-workers and in the land of Babylon, in that land, the folks, the people, and the leaders were jealous of him. So what did they do? They tried to get him in trouble. They said, king, you should make a law. A law that said no one could pray to God except to you, the emperor. Except to you, the king. Now, do you think that Daniel obeyed that law? Absolutely not. When Daniel heard that it is illegal to pray, you know what did he do? He went up to his room. And he opened the window, and he faced Jerusalem and prayed to God, giving thanks and praise to God for his goodness, his faithfulness. Not one time, but how many times a day? Three times a day. In spite of the law. Now, the law said that if you pray to any other gods, except to the emperor and the king, you would be put to death. Put in where? Dens of the lion. The lion's den. You would be executed. You would be killed. Daniel knew that. Knowingly, he went up to his room and prayed 3 times a day. Now, his colleagues, co-workers saw him, and they reported to the king. The king, Darius, who liked Daniel, but couldn't do anything because the law is the law. He couldn't change the law. His own law is the rule. So with sadness and distress in his own heart, he put Daniel in the lion's den. And this is where we are this morning. Daniel. Men and women, when we think about God and our faith and our walk with the Lord and our community, our world, we think about the good things, we think about the promises, the joy, the love, the peace, the great things about God. And we think about all the wonderful things that the world can give us. But then also where time and time again, day after day, week after week, we are reminded that this world is not the end. This is not the end. You heard about the tragedy in Oklahoma State University, correct? That a drunk driver just plowed through a crowd. You heard about the hurricane, the storm. It's happening in Mexico and around the world. The floods, the tragedy, the sadness, the sickness, the chaos, the loss, what seems like the lion's den. It's all happening at all the same time. And yet Daniel could tell us that with all these events in life and in faith and in the world, that God is still control. God is control. God is in control. God is sovereign. You know, that's almost like, well, if God is in control and God is sovereign, then why are all these things happening? Why would Daniel would be in the lion's den for praying 3 times a day? It make no sense. Then you can go on the list with the things that are happening throughout history and even now. One of the requirement part of exercise as a student of the Bible back then was to go into public places. So I was sent to one of the biggest mall in Pennsylvania, King of Prussia Mall. And the assignment was that we will generally just talk with people and have a conversation with people at the mall who were shopping, and just generally speak of a conversation about what they think about God. Is he a loving? Is he a caring? Is he the almighty, the powerful God? So we will just, it's not about turning and just grabbing them with your shirt and say, if they believe in God, if not, they will go to hell or heaven or you know, whatever, and that they must believe in God and they must become a Christian. Not like that. That wasn't a mission for us to do. That was an assignment. But rather to have this conversation, the general conversation about God. Is God really there? Does God care about us? Is God a loving and a caring God? That is he in control? Is he powerful? Is he the almighty? Just a general question. And you know, most of the responses that I got and a friend of mine, that those who went there, the common answers that we got was this. Yeah, God is like powerful out there, but I don't know, is he really there or not? That's one of them. And the other one is like, well, God is like just so loving that he loves everybody and that he just make everything's all right. And he's like a loving really, really unconditional loving grandparents. He just lets you have candies all the time. And those are the most responses that we received. Friends, the scripture tells us that God is neither. God is neither just somewhere out there powerful and with all his majesty, and he's just out there so detached, and that he has absolutely nothing to do with us. God is not like that. And God is not so a God, God is not also a God who just say, well, whatever goes on in the world, I'm just going to let it go, and, you know, because I'm a loving God, just forget everything and all the wrongs, all the injustices, all the wickedness, I'm just going to let them go. Friends, God is not a God like that either. Our God is in control. He's sovereign. He's powerful. He's majestic. All that his throne is in heavens. He's mighty. He's the creator. And yet our God is just. He's merciful. He's loving. He's compassionate. He's our Savior. He's our rescuer. The God who is a distance, powerful, mighty, is also the God near us, right in our neighborhood, right in our community, right where we are. Know that whenever you're going through, whatever you're going through, whatever circumstances, whatever situation you are in, God truly is in control over your life, over the world. Can we say amen to that? Amen. You know, the people of Israel, during the world, the wilderness experience, could not remember that, or they fail to believe in that, that God truly is in control. The problem was the people of Israel at that time wasn't a psychological problem, an emotional problem. It was a faith problem. They have a lack of faith in God. They did not trust in God. They did not believe that God could really deliver them from their wilderness experience and get them to the promised land. It is not a psychological problem. It is not a personal problem. It is not emotional problems. It is a faith problem. This is going to be harsh to hear, folks. That is the only sin that cannot be forgiven. Do you know that? The only sin that cannot be forgiven is the sin of unbelieving. All other sins, God says that he can forgive you and wipe away all the sins. But if we don't believe that God is majestic, powerful, the creator, the only one, and God is the one who saves us, who gave his life, who died for us, who rescues us, who gave us new life. The Bible says that's the only sin that cannot be forgiven. It's a blasphemy. Not my word. That's the word of the Lord. And that's precisely what Daniel did. He believed, he trusted in God in good times and in bad times, even with the laws that threatened him to kill him, even in the lion's den, he trusted the Lord. Men and women, the message for us this morning is that God is in control. God is sovereign. No matter what happens, God is still in the throne. Can we say amen to that? The second principle that we learn from Daniel is this. It is a lifelong lesson of having a purpose in life. You know, Daniel's purpose was to be faithful to God, period. And it started as light, as little as not eating the food that the king provided for him. He's saying, you know what? I have this purpose in life. That I'm going to eat Now, I'm not saying that all of us after this service should turn to vegetarians. That's not what I'm saying. I love my Canadian bacon, okay? So don't challenge me on that and say, you're a hypocrite. You preach this, but eat meat. I'm not promoting vegetarianism, whatever that is. I do love Brussels sprouts with the sprinkle of little bacons on top of them. But here is Daniel, who knew his purpose. Life is not about just food and drink and comforts and what we have and what we don't have. Daniel knew all along, and he determined to serve God, to be faithful to him, regardless of the consequences. Even in the pressures that coming to him from the ungodly society, from the ungodly emperors and kings, he was able to carry on with his purpose in life, to be faithful to God. And that is his clear purpose all along. It started with a sign of saying, King, thank you for giving me all these good things, but I'm going to stick to my diet. And we learn that lesson right from the beginning, that Daniel had a purpose in life, and he knew what his purpose in life that is to be faithful to God, no matter what. And that purpose in life got him to a place where, when he got to a place where he faced death, all the challenges, all the hostile situations, Daniel was able to persevere because he knew that his purpose in life is not just about him. It's not just about his purpose to do well in life. He was able to persevere because he knew God was with him, and that God will be with him, and that God will carry him throughout his life. Do you know that when Daniel was in the lion's den, he was not a young, is it spring chicken or chicken spring, whatever term you call it? Thank you. When Daniel got in the lion's den, he was 80 years old. At that point, he served four kings under four emperors. You know, we picture Daniel as a young man who was intelligent and strength and powerful when he left Judah to the land of Babylon. And that's what we were introduced. But when he was thrown into the lion's den, he was 80 years old, folks. By this time, he could have said, God, I obey you. I serve you. I was faithful to you. I was obedient. I knew my purpose. I was persevering. But the lion's den, that's my reward for getting in this mess and life-threatening situation. We didn't hear that from Daniel. What we heard was this: the God whom I served, the God whom I loved, the God who I worship and prayed, rescue me and shut the mouths of the lions. There was no wound on him. A miraculous rescue. A miraculous delivery. Men and women, you and I have those stories. The fact that you're sitting here is because of that miraculous rescue and delivery on that Calvary's day. Do you notice that? Faith is a gift of God, a gift from God. But personally, you and I can testify and give testimony of our lives in which God did really rescue us from our lion's den, whether it be physical, emotional, spiritual. You will have all those stories. Let me share you mine briefly. When I was 25 years old, I was driving on one of the highway in Pennsylvania in Amish County. It was an open country, so it's beautiful, and it has only one lane coming the opposite from the Amish County and two lanes going into the land. So I was on the left lane of that one direction, And the car right in front of me had to turn left to the side of the road. So I had to wait because there was other cars, traffic going on the other side of the lane and on the right side of the lane. So I couldn't move. So I had to stay in my lane and wait for the car to move. Had I told you this story before? Okay. So it was a white van. I remember that it was signaling left turn. I couldn't move because car was moving on my right side, so I just had to wait. I couldn't go on the other side, so I'd be crashed by the oncoming traffic. I have no other choice. I had to wait. I didn't realize that the minute I looked up my rear window, I just saw this thing moving, and I got hit by another vehicle moving 50 miles an hour, over 50 miles an hour, smashed right behind me. And my car hit the van and turned directly 360 right at the exact spot with all the trunk smashed up, came into the back seat. And the car stopped right at the exact spot where I was waiting, 360 turn. Not to the left, not to the right, right at the spot, right in the Amish County. The police and the firemen, a woman came, and the emergency responders came. And they took care of the things, and to cut the long story short, the officer came to me and said, "Mister, you're the luckiest man alive today. You're the luckiest man alive today. Do you know you were hit by a drunk driver over 50 miles an hour? You know what that means? 50 miles an hour is falling down from 50 stories, right? Of building, 50 stories of building. No scratch, no wounds. I'm no Daniels, let me tell you, okay? I have grown in my faith, but I wasn't perfect. I love the Lord, but I'm no Daniel. But the fact is that that day, God rescued me physically. It was my miraculous rescued. I thank God for that. The officer said to me, "You're the luckiest man alive." I was saying, "This is no luck to me. This is no luck. I know who's rescued me. It's not my time yet. I have a purpose in life. I had to go to WPC and move to New Hampshire, all right?" I didn't know it back then. So I said to the officer, "Thank goodness, yes, yes, thank you, but can I get a ride home?" And he said, "No." So I had to hitchhike. Why would I tell you this story? Men and women, everything that happened with physically, emotionally, spiritually, of all things, God, the Almighty God, is not just an Almighty God we worship on Sunday morning. He's not just an Almighty God when things are good and life is fine and that we get promoted and we get everything, things that we need, and that God is good all the time. God really is good all the time, even in your lion's den right now. God really is good all the time, for he has helped you. For he has rescued you time and time and time again. Look back your life. Look back your histories. Again, I say this. The reason you're sitting here today is no accident. It is because of God, his goodness, his mercy, his faithfulness. Men and women, God has been faithful to us. God has been faithful to you, to me. God was faithful to Daniel. The question is, will we be faithful to him? Are we going to be faithful to God no matter what? When circumstances, when rules and authorities and powers and principles of this world said, you can't worship God, you can't pray, you can't believe in God. Now, mind you, we're not in that society. But if you think of the world right now, there are men and women, families and children who would not have the freedom and the liberty and the privilege as we do on Sunday morning to be a Christian, to worship God, to love God, to give our thanks and praise with all the freedom, all the joy, with all the things that we have, freely worshiping God. That is not the privilege, the freedom that has been given to to many people in the world. Oh, I could name many countries in the Middle East, in Africa, in the Far East, Asia, and you could name them all. But folks, for our Lion's Den, for our challenges, difficulties, whatever we're going through, they can either be served as a chaos or the Lion's Den to take us away from our faithfulness to God or even our faith in God. Will you be faithful to Him? Will you be faithful to God? The Lion's Den, the challenges, the difficulties are now and will there be in our future. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but trust in me. He knew that. Why? Because even Jesus himself knelt down and prayed in the garden and said, Father, if it's possible, what? Take this cup away from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Whatever we're going through, whatever situation, circumstances, even if it feels like we're in the lion's den, know this, that God will do his will, his purposes. He will accomplish his purpose, his kingdom in our lives if we remain faithful to him. And when we don't, even when we remain unfaithful to God, God still be God. He will still be sovereign, powerful, majestic, still merciful, loving, and caring. For our God cannot be changed. For that, we say amen. Thanks be to God.